This is Our Given Purpose, the podcast, season 3. Streaming on Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Today's podcast is an interview with Brian Ritchie. Brian Ritchie is the host of the Be Rich Show on Radio 434, part of Cam Entertainment. Brian is a media personality, community activist, mentor, coach, and father. This conversation is decades in the making. I have known Brian since middle school, and this is the very first discussion I recall having with him. The proximity to people does not necessarily mean we know who they are. It takes time to get to know the inner workings of what drives individuals to act, respond, and do what they do. I am genuinely grateful God pressed me to look closer to home. I offer this challenge to you, dear people of purpose. Think of someone you have known for years but never had a one-on-one conversation. Do you have that person in mind? What, if anything, might you have in common? Sometimes waiting for the perfect opportunity to say hello, how you been? What are your futuristic goals? It may be too late. There are many people I wish I had gotten to know better. So this year, let's build bridges of cooperation, community, and business. Let's build one another up through encouragement and offer our expertise. When we activate our desire to work cooperatively through God with one another, man, oh man, the possibilities are endless. As I am preparing to settle in and listen to this interview as well, it feels like winter here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and downtown Lynchburg is quiet during these early morning hours. The sun is about to peek over the Blue Ridge Mountains, and I am gearing up for an eventful day. As I think back to the actual recording with Mr. Brian Ritchie, I recall the rain and the internet streets being very uncooperative, downright disrespectful at times. But God, He makes a way, and I am thankful for Brian's patience, honesty, and willingness to share his story. He has a lot more to say, and I can promise you a future book is in the making. I look forward to that release date and am praying for the global impact Brian Ritchie will make. So, ladies and gentlemen, people of purpose, grab a snack, coffee, tea, or be extra with cucumber water with sliced lemon, and settle in for a very transparent, energetic, humorous, and candid conversation. I am Tori, your host, and you're listening to Our Given Purpose, the podcast. From mentee to mentor, an interview with Brian Ritchie.
Thank you for braving these internet streets to get here and everything that we had to get through. Amen.
Thanks for having me. These internet streets are rough, man. I'm telling you. Brian Ritchie. I am a native here, Lynchburg, born and raised, father of six, known as a personality, dabbling a little bit of everything as long as it's positive. You know, my whole main thing is trying to make an impact on other people's lives. Throughout my journey, throughout my 42 years, I have worn many hats, for lack of a better term. The way I look at it, there's no such thing as mistakes. They're only opportunities to improve. So my experiences, most of my wounds have been self-inflicted, but my experiences in life, I try to use them to affect people in general, regardless of the age, the gender, the race. I can relate to most people on several different levels because there's not much that I haven't done or I haven't experienced. I'd like to tell people I'm one of the very few people that have done all three. And when I say all three, I've been to jail, college, and the army. So,
okay, you better preach and bring it all home then. Okay, this interview is about to be, we're going to have a few things.
Yeah, I've been in all three institutions, so I can share a little insight on anything that anybody's been going through, and I take pride in that.
Amen. You know,
that you using my past and bumps and bruises and my healed wounds to show people what to do and what not to do, you know?
Okay. Okay. With all of that, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lifetime, and you've done that within your 42 short years of being here. So let's go into, tell me a story of how you overcame either arrogance, anger, pride, or fear.
You know, it's God has a way of humbling you. Yeah. So, you know, you sometimes I would find myself in places to where I would get a little big-headed. I know for a while, you know, just through my self-assessment, I've suffered from a taste of the a touch of the narcissism in the past. And, you know, sometimes you have to self-evaluate. And I'm like, wow, I fit every single one of these categories. So what do I have to do to overcome this? You know, because being a narcissist is not a good thing. It's nothing that you would want to be proud of, or nothing that you would want people to, you know, be around. So, you know, just a lot of soul searching. It was a struggle. Practice at something and you keep going at it, you know, it eventually becomes, you know, your new way of thinking becomes, you know, your permanent way of thinking.
Amen.
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to just put yourself to the side and you have to look at the bigger picture. But, you know, God has a way of humbling you. He'll give you something and he'll take it back if you're not appreciative of it, or if, you know, if it goes to your head or whatever. So, I mean, that's how I've overcome most of anger, pride, arrogance. Arrogance, I like to put an emphasis on that. That was part of the narcissism. Press other people down to kind of build yourself up, understanding what it is and that you actually have it. You know, that's the main thing.
You led me into it. You started it. So mm-hmm.
Right with it.
You said that you were humbled. So what was that? Yes. What was that experience? Because when God humbles you, he can do it either gently or he can make sure that you know that he did it. So if you want to share.
God, try to tap on the door at first. It's God. You tighten up a little bit. And if you don't listen, the knock will become a little more firm.
Mm.
The consequences become a little more extreme. And if you still don't take heed, that's when you get knocked completely off the horse. I've been all three. When you hit rock bottom and the only way to go is up, that tests you as a man in general. When you look around and it's nobody there because of your actions and the things that you've done, be quite the humbling experience. You know, I like to use that word. The rebuilding process is the beauty of it all. Once you've been humbled and you know that God is working on you and you allow him to work, the rebuilding process becomes, it's never easy, but you trying to see where God is steering you. Your vision becomes a little more clear. And so you're like, okay, this is what the plan is. So let me stick with this.
Right,
you know,
right.
Mm-hmm. You feel it in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's keep digging. We standing in the garden. We are digging shovel. Through these things. We got the shovel out. So, I mean, hey, we in this. So
I've been looking forward to this. I mean, it interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
For years and years. Because, you know, I'm kind of a high profile guy in this area, not to brag or anything, because some of the things I'm into as far as the mentoring and the community activism and the coaching and the radio. So, you know, a lot of people know who I am. So with that being said, you know, you get a lot of variations of your story. I mean, I've heard things about me like, wow, did I really do that? So this right here is giving me the opportunity for people to hear from the horse's mouth.
When did you feel like you mattered? Because you said that you were, you know, as far as your high profile, and yes, I know who you are, but I mean, I've known who you are for years, a couple decades. We old up in here.
Back to middle school, yeah.
Right, yeah. But as far as you understanding your worth and what you give to the community, and then also what you give as a family man, as a father, as a Black man, let's just go there. As a Black man, when did you feel like you mattered?
I felt like that, believe it or not, when I started coaching youth football. And I realized that I coached a majority Black football team. I coached over at R.S. Payne, you know, and some of those guys, they're grown men now. But I remember after practice, I would always have like man-to-man conversations. I mean, these were 12 and 13-year-old kids at the time. And, you know, most of them are, you know, 20, 21 years old now. Because I know as Black men, we have a hard time communicating or expressing how we feel. That's haunted for centuries here in America, that the Black man, we have no one to turn to. So I would always have this event session. These are teenage boys and preteen boys, but they had things on their minds too. And they would just tell me everything. I mean, from what was going, if they had eaten or not, problems with their little girlfriends, things they were going through with their mom or their father or anything like that. They felt comfortable enough to come to me with that type of information. And I'm like, wow, I must really matter for someone to be able to get that intimate and share those type of details about their lives with me. I'm like, wow. So that was kind of what got the ball rolling there. And one thing pretty much led to another. You know, football led to me realizing that I need to start reaching out to the kids who can't play sports.
You know, the kids.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody has having problems, not just the football players. The kid that's riding the scooter down the street that, you know, may weigh 60 pounds and can't play football. He's going through it. Let me talk to this kid, too. And before you knew it, I was an unofficial mentor. And people were calling me, parents were calling me like, I need you to come speak to my son. That's the moment I realized that I mattered, you know, been a lot. Some of these guys, like I say, some of these guys are grown men with kids and things like that. And to this day, hey, coach, man, you know, we still chop it up when I see him out and about. It's an amazing feeling when you're put in that position or given that title, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, okay. It almost sounds as though God put these people in your life so that even though they're going through something, you've find your identity and why you're here, like your purpose. So that's really awesome. You know, I dap it up with you right there. Okay. there we go.
Hey, Purposeful family. I hope you are enjoying this interview so far. Please don't go anywhere, but take a moment to refresh your beverage, stretch your legs, and let other people know that you're listening to Mentee to Mentor, an interview with Brian Ritchie on Our Given Purpose, the podcast. Links to the Be Rich Show on Radio 434 will be in the show notes. As Brian and I continued this very open and honest conversation, he shared quite a few details of his military experience, some of which led him into crime. Brian shared that he has been in all three institutions, college, military, and jail. While he didn't object to me presenting those stories here, I thought it better to focus on his future and how his past developed him. It is not something he is ashamed of, but it is a history that is not easily summarized. Brian's life is just that, his life. He suffered from being caught up in this world, and thanks be to God, he recovered with a testimony to give. His mess is his most persuasive and impactful message. The things that occurred over two decades ago, Brian Ritchie has developed into the fuel to feed his continued motivation to uplift and inspire. So let us turn our attention back to hear more of Mentee to Mentor, the interview with Brian Ritchie on Our Given Purpose, the podcast.
How do you feel like you've evolved from, you know, that that person who was in, you know, elementary school who needed that mentor? Do you feel like you had a mentor when you were growing up? And then also, how did it get to you becoming that unofficial one? Because often we can't give what we don't have.
Yeah, so, you see, we grew up in the 80s and 90s when, you know, especially among Black men, wasn't, you had to tough it up and you just kept everything bottled in. You know, I mean, I never had anybody to reach out to. Everything, you know, I had a couple uncles here and there, you know, that I would talk to, but it was never one of those things that I could feel, I felt like I could lay it all out. It takes me back to a story that back when I was at Dunbar, and you remember we all went to school with Paris Lennon, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember I would walk over to his house and we to play Nintendo after school sometimes. He lived over off of Taylor Street, and I would walk over there. And so I remember his dad, Mr. Lennon, you know, may he rest in peace. He was a great guy, very instrumental in molding me. But I can remember the first time I met him, I thought that all Black fathers were mean and angry, because that was the impression that we were given, you know, that Black men were. So I can remember sitting in the living room right after school playing the Nintendo, and Mr. Lennon walked in, and my first thought was to freeze up. I wanted to take off running because I thought I was gonna get screamed at for sitting in this man's house eating a sandwich and playing a Nintendo and drinking thing. So I just froze up like, oh snap, what is gonna happen? And I can remember him saying, oh man, Richie, calm down, man. How's everything going? Oh man, I saw you, that play that you made the other day on the field. And he knew so much about me. And I'm like, wow, this is what, this is a Black father right here? I thought all Black were angry and upset and abusive and verbally and mentally and physically abusive. This right here, this is weird to me. I thought that this was like not normal. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that this was not normal. And so we create up until, you know, he passed a year or so ago. I've always had a very tight bond with Mr. Lennon. Oddly enough, he would know everything about me. Hey, Richie, how's the kids? Hey, Richie, how's things going over there with Tony Cam at the radio station? Like, wow, how'd you know all that? Wow. But little did he know, he was very instrumental in my development. Later on in life, I would always refer back to, you know, moments with him. And I would use that in my mentoring, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I'm 1,000% positive that his son, Paris, 99% of his success came from having a father like that. It had to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It had to. I mean, he was amazing. Like, I was like, oh man, here, I'm thinking James Evans from Good Times is gonna bust up in the house. Get out of here. Get out of here, you chump, you punk. But he said, I was like, oh man, this is foreign to me. I mean, this is what Black man is. And mind you, this is like in the 90s. The whole movement of the Black father solidifying and becoming, you know, more seen and heard, you know, that whole movement is recent, you know, but he was doing that before it was a thing, you know what I mean? God, oh man, it was one of those memories that I'll never forget.
What do you feel like is the most misunderstood or miscommunicated thing about your life that people just, you know, they see it through a virtual lens, but they don't know what the reality is?
That
go ahead, get your shovel.
Even I'm still some kind of jerk, for real. I guess because I must have been terrible, man. Because people still, like, you know, they still have that conception of me of being this jerk, that I'm unapproachable, kind of a diva. that is true. You know, that's true. I'm one of the most personable people that you ever wanted to meet in your life. I really am. But I'm not that guy anymore. You know, and I can genuinely say that with anything in me. You know, I've done a complete 180. You know, that Be Rich
gregarious personality from the radio, that guy, you know, with his chest out. That's just an image, you know. That's just one of my many hats that I wear. It's always good to have that guy, be able to put that hat on sometimes, because sometimes you have to be that way. You have to armor up differently for different battles. You know what I mean?
You better come on with Ephesians. All right now.
Yeah, sometimes you have to wear a different armor. You know, I'm not gonna wear a bulletproof vest if the guy has a bazooka. I'm pulling up in a tank. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's who Be Rich is. Be Rich is my tank. And people think that's who I am. That's, like I said, it's just one of the many, many, many hats that I wear. It works in certain places. Like I said, it works on the radio. It works on a football field. But it doesn't work at my regular job. It doesn't work fatherhood. You get that misconception that's who I am all the time. It's the furthest thing from the truth.
You were talking about as far as like the angry black man, the angry dad, and not realizing that dads could act in this manner. How many, I guess, because I know that you probably know some other black men, at least I hope you do, but how many, you know, what, a couple, but how many... What, as far as your persona, you said that you know, you have the tank if you need to bring that out, but also you can't be that when you're at home, when you're being being a dad. So
like if said, somebody, I'm a big teddy bear when it comes to my kids. they see the gentle papa bear, you know what I mean? I'm a doting father, man. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, man. You know, I tell people, that's all I talk about. Is my six kids, man. I have two sons and four daughters. I have two of them that are adults now, you know, and they're experiencing life.
If you could present one version of yourself to everybody all the time, what would that look like?
It would be the guy you're talking to right now. It would be, I'm so content in life right now. I know people always say never get comfortable with life. But I'm at a place right now, and I can honestly say to you that I've never felt better. There's always a certain degree of stress in an adult life, especially being a black man. I feel like for the first time in my life, I got what is peace of mind. For once in my life, I can honestly say, man, it feels good to be Brian. It feels good to, you know, to be me. I don't have any complaints. You know, I'm the guy that I was looking at 10 years ago saying, that's where I want to be. I want to be like that guy. And I'm that guy now.
You know, that's awesome. I pray you keep that. Well, let me ask you, what is the future for, are we calling it Be Rich Productions? Are we going global? Are we running for president? What are you fitting to do, Mr. Richie?
Well, like I said, like with the first go round, we'll put it in God's hands. It's a lot of things coming up in 2020. I need a Tony Cam camp right now with the whole radio thing, man. He's been an amazing guy. Shout out to Tony Cam. He's an amazing guy, man. And he's one of the ones that took a chance on me. People were kind of whispering in his ear, are you sure you want to take a chance on this guy? We've been rocking and rolling, man, probably 5 or 6 years now without a hitch. I'm pretty sure he's glad that he took that chance, and I'm definitely sure that he took that chance. So, So now, the legacy I want to leave is when my son, my youngest son, brings his buddy home from school, I want my son's friends to say, man, your dad is a stand-up guy. That's what I want my legacy to be.
Okay. Yeah.
You get to a point in life to where your growth, belief in God, everything starts to come full circle. And when, like I said, when you were a little kid and your grandma drug you to church and you didn't feel like going, see the preacher up front hooping and hollering about how good God is, it doesn't really take hold until those things are start to actually happening to you. Pastor won't lie. The stronger your belief and when you walk in God's way, you know, the blessings are going to start to come, and be ready when they come. Like right now, I'm still just like out here with my bucket, you know, and they're overflowing, like, hey, you know, blessings going everywhere. You know what I mean?
So, right.
And it's one of those things where you never want it to go away. And the only way to keep them from going away is just to live in his word and be who he wants you to be. Be this way for the rest of your life. Pray in the mornings. I pray before I go to bed. Sometimes I'm at work. I slide off to my car in the parking lot and I give God a quick thank you, because this is all still surreal to me. You know, everything that's going on right now in my life, because I've come a long way, especially in the last 10 years. This is all brand new to me. But it all started when I gave up and I gave it all to God. I was like, hey, I can't do this by myself anymore. I'm not strong enough for this. I need you, God. And God knows that your heart is pure and you are who you say you are. Then start seeing everything changing. God is, you know, is my medication now that I don't even need.
Pause right there, brother. Pause right there for a second. Let that sink in. You just dropped a gem. So God is your medication. He is how you got. Wow.
Because, you know, they say alcohol. People use alcohol and drugs to self-medicate.
Right.
You know what I mean? That goes back to us black men not being able to express ourselves without being called soft or without being ridiculed. We have a tendency to self-medicate, which opens up a whole new list of problems. Relationship problems, family problems, work problems, or any problem you can think of from self-medication. Start medicating through the word. You don't do that. You get that same sense of peace, you know, that you would get from drinking, or you would get from using drugs. You could get that same peace of mind, that same sense of ease. You can't get pulled over for believing in God. You can't get arrested.
All right. You better tell it.
Well, I'm pulling you over. I believe in God. Okay, sir. All right. Good day. Goodbye.
Well, Brian, I want to say thank you so much for taking your time out to speak to the Purposeful Family. I am in debt to you. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for the community, what you're doing as a black man, what you're doing as a father, as just a person. I am grateful to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Purposeful Family, please check the show notes and get the links to connect with Brian Ritchie, host of the Be Rich Show on Radio 434. The many hats we wear do not make up the total of who we are. As Brian accurately summarized, we have to bring different attitudes to different situations. We are always us at the center, but we don't have to be utterly vulnerable at all times. The adversary is here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We have to wear armor and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Knowing how to act and react is discernment and shows wisdom and maturity. I hope that you all enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. You've just listened to Mentee to Mentor, the podcast, an interview with Brian Ritchie. This year, our given purpose is focused on dealing with the root of our anger, arrogance, pride, and fear. This will be done through testimonies as well as interviews, devotionals, and unique collaborations. If you've ever asked yourself, what is my purpose? Please head over to www.ourgivenpurpose.com and subscribe for free. From there, you will gain access to free resources that will prayerfully encourage you to dive deeper into God's holy word. Please share this episode with your friends via email or social media. Join our Facebook group and connect with us on Instagram. Please tune in to the internet show, Talking on Purpose with Tori, every Wednesday at noon on YouTube, Facebook Watch, and IGTV. Let's grow in God together. Share your platform and thoughts anywhere there's a comment section. If you want to chat or ask a question privately, please contact me, Tori at OurGivenPurpose.com. Don't forget to check the show notes. This is Tori of Our Given Purpose.